I'm Aaron Winowiski. I'm the pastor here, and we've got a video that I want to share with you that you're going to see some familiar faces in it, mine included, and Steve Busse, who's a part of New Day, Pastor Casey Scheffelbein, who, if you haven't met him, you're going to hear more from him today. He's our youth pastor. We combine our youth group with Bethany in Schofield, just down the road. So you'll see him in there. You'll see Pastor Charlie Salamone, who was a church planting intern here, as well as other people from other churches around the area, because we're part of seeing God do a work in central Wisconsin where churches are working together to see revival. And we've talked about Revive Wisconsin before. What I want to do is show this video that will give you a better idea. Okay, what are we talking about? What does it look like? So, with that, let's fire the video.
I experienced Revive in the Twin Cities when they did Revive Twin Cities. And when I experienced that, I thought that was something that was going to be effective in Wisconsin also.
Steve came back, and I knew that was of the Lord because God had told me that whatever he did there was going to be a part of our ministry. Well, then it took a couple years after we did some things, and we started really praying about it as a group of leaders and pastors, and it's just kind of taken off.
Welcome to Wisconsin.
So Jeff was the first guy that came up to me and said, "What do you need? You're in."
I just started just getting excited about it.
Just praying that God would do something in our community.
And we know that your spirit can move in ways that we can't imagine.
They are coming here to our area for Revive Wisconsin. Praise you, God.
We need unity in the churches in Wausau.
The onus is on us to go out into the community and meet people where they're at.
They need an encounter with God.
And when I found out about the 52-week discipleship aspect, I was sold. Now we're following up, and we're actually doing the discipleship. We're actually pouring into them.
Father, help us to be unashamed of your gospel.
Wausau is a slower pace. It's a friendly area. It's a
pretty quiet town, but there's a lot that goes on.
But how would we pray for you, family? Anything specific?
Make good choices and be there for my son.
I think there's just a lot of people that are just kind of living life without really the Lord at the center of their life.
You had one thing on your heart, on your mind that you think about, what would be that thing that we could pray for you about?
Safe travels to my mom.
Can I pray for your travels?
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself.
So a lot of religions teach, you know, I'm trying to do more good to outweigh my bad.
When you have faith that he died for us, it takes away the sin and the death.
And here's the cool part, it's a gift.
Have you ever read any of these before?
No.
Have you ever read the Bible before?
No. Kind of hard to, you know, choose, if you were to choose, you know, two religions, it's pretty hard.
Let me just pray, Lord, bless Kevin. Allow this truth just to continue to sink in and keep showing him the next step. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, man.
And ambassadors and sent by the living God, then it seems to me that the city should be well aware of that. The church, the body of Christ, is largely being ignored. And I know that because I was 20 years old before I had ever even really heard the gospel.
If you ask, are you
you're a Christian to say yes, and often it's tied to, well, my parents were Christians or my grandparents were Christians. Some people don't understand that relationship, that there's real joy, that there's real peace, that there's real love that God wants us to experience. And I'm afraid that many, many people in this area aren't experiencing that right now.
Churches in our community actually came together in unity for the sake of the gospel.
There's too much at stake out there in the lives of people for us to run away from this call that God has in our lives to go to share the gospel and to make disciples.
If we don't pursue and look to advance the kingdom of God, you might pray right past the move. You could experience the fullness of God for your own life, which then could actually impact somebody else.
It's a businessman's breakfast here in Wausau, Wisconsin. You know, businessmen's.
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 You need to try the sprinkled cupcakes.
And so when we train folks, how do you do this in a financial environment? How do you do this in a hospital? How do you do this in a school? And it's super simple. You'd be surprised that when the business community gets involved, how much it just spreads.
Live our faith, and that's to promote our relationship with Christ through the business that we do.
Entry-level jobs, CEOs of businesses who just need permission to talk about it. They need someone to kind of light a little fire, and that fire is going to take off.
I think this is North America's largest curling facility.
How you doing? Are you connected with the curling facility over here? Is there anything we can pray for you about? Mind if we pray for now?
If you like.
Okay. All right.
You're a Christian group, are you?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Everyone
makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. Everyone falls short. Everyone's in that. While we're not just sinners, Christ died for us. He so loved the world, right? Yeah, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
While we were yet sinners, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Right. He doesn't cast aspersions. I mean,
yeah.
He knows we're sinners.
Saying confessing him as Lord, like saying, Jesus, I actually want you to be in charge of my life.
I have doubts. I don't know if you have anyone else. Some days I have.
Yeah, what are some doubts?
Is this all true?
You know? Yeah.
Did men just write it?
Right.
There are some days you just go, what is this? I believe.
Yeah. Here's the thing I'll leave you with, okay? Charlie actually personally ever, like, understood all this stuff and said, Jesus, I actually want you to be in charge of my life. Have you ever had the chance to do that?
No. As a kid, you know, being Catholic, you know, you
sure
take Jesus into your heart.
And, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Try to live a decent life. We're all Catholics, so
okay.
That's where our faith is. So.
Gotcha. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't mind having conversations.
Nice.
Very good,
fellas. Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
I love Wausau. It's in my heart. This town has to be changed by the gospel. It has to. There's no other choice. We have to have revival here. We have to. This is a pivoting point for us to say yes to him and boldly proclaim his love, his salvation for all people.
All right, if you want to get an even better understanding, what's this all about, what's going on, one of the things that you saw in there was a situation that was happening at a church. You saw people up on a stage, and that was an event that some of the folks from our church were at. But I want to make sure that you all know that you're invited to come to a similar event on Tuesday, where you get to, again, you get to learn more, but also it's a great time of just connection and worship. So you can see in your program some information about that. It's at Wausau Alliance Church. The address is right there in your program. And the businessmen's, business people's, see, there we are again with fishermen, businessmen, come on. The business breakfast, you can also see that in your program. That's coming up this week. So if you're a business person, you want to network and connect with other Christian business people who are getting on board with this, then make sure to check that out. One of the people you saw on there was Pastor Casey. Why don't you just come on up here? I'm going to talk about you a little bit. Some of you remember Michelle and I took a trip to Florida. It wasn't a vacation, although we squeezed in some fun things. You remember? You remember the car we rented? Because you were there.
Yeah, I remember the car you rented.
Yeah.
Michelle
and I upgraded our car. It only cost us a little bit more to be the people who are at this Church Planters event. We were in the yellow convertible Mustang.
Yes, I remember.
We did. I said, I can't do this. I can't go on a ministry. And then they were like, it's just a couple of dollars extra. And I was like, I'm going to do the yellow one then, because we're going to go all out. Anyway, Casey and Jen were a couple who were there. The reason we were there was the reason Michelle and I were there as experienced people in church planting was to do an assessment center for people who felt like maybe God was calling them to start a new church somewhere. That's what church planting is. And Casey and Jen were there, and are, you know, it's a little bit difficult for us to be watching them and to be imagining them starting a new church, because Pastor Casey is an amazing youth pastor. And some of us can't imagine what is God going to do if he goes somewhere else, if they move, and the thought is Marshfield, if they move to Marshfield and start a new church, what's going to happen with the youth group? I can assure you, God provides. Where he equips, he provides. It's just been our pleasure, though, over the last few years of our kids being in the youth group to get to know Pastor Casey and to see his heart, and it's my pleasure to welcome him today to share his heart with all of you. Take it away.
Amen. Thanks, Aaron. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I love to go and speak at other churches. I love to see other church plants, because that's been my heart for a long time. And I my heart has been in youth ministry, and I love teenagers. I love children. I think that as a church plant, if you don't have that, close the doors. Because we need to be raising up the next generation. Amen? Anybody with me on that? So I want to talk about the person that's worth following this morning. And you guys are in a series called Go Forth. I just found that out this morning. So go forth to Alaska. How many of you guys heard that? I don't know why I just said that, but the Lord knows. So go forth to Marshfield. Go forth to Wausau. Go forth to your neighbors. Go forth to your city. Go forth to the nations and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what if we're at a church and we're not doing that, let's close the doors. Amen? If we're a family that says that we are believers and we're not doing that, let's stop saying we're believers. Amen? There is nothing that we do as believers except to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to do. So I want to talk a little bit to start out with, how do we know someone's worth following? Say that question in your mind right now. How do I know somebody's worth following? You know, kids today, they're getting on their YouTubes, and they're following people. And these people have lots of followers, and they're following them because they're funny, they're energetic, they're very passionate about life, they're passionate about subjects. They talk about stuff that sometimes the church does not talk about. That's why our kids are following them. they're on Twitter. You know, how? What about people on Twitter? Why are they worth following? What is it about somebody that you just start clicking on stuff and you go, oh, that person's worth following. They got a bunch of sheep at their house. I'm gonna follow that guy, you know, or they're energetic or they're funny or whatever. But what makes a person worth following? What makes you go, hey, I'm going to give up my whole entire life to go forth to do what this person calls me to do? What is it? So we're going to look at that this morning in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. I actually have the New Living Translation. It's probably not the same as what's going to be on the screen, but we're just going to go with it, amen? So you guys doing good this morning? All right. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or whoa, I said demon-possessed in church. Whoa, wait a minute. That's what the word says. Okay, we're getting real this morning, aren't we? Demon-possessed, epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went, people from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. So I just want to unpack this a little bit. This is not... This is a passage that really fits with where I'm going as a church planner. It's a passage that fits with your backyard mission. It's a passage that fits in many ways for the church. And so I'm going to unpack this a little bit this morning. So Jesus did a lot of traveling. That was his thing. He went different places. The operative in Christianity is not come to my church, but to do what? Go, right? To go forth, to go where God is calling us to go. And so I remember the first time I heard that term from my lead pastor at Bethany, and he's like, for years we've been telling people to come to our evangelistic event, to come to our church, to come hear the pastor, to come hear this, that, the other thing. And he's like, no, we're here to go. Now Jesus is like, go. Go. It's an action word. It takes you someplace. And so Jesus was all about that. And so if we're following Jesus, we're going. If we're following Jesus, we're preaching and we're teaching. So some of us are called to preach. Some of us are not. That's okay. I was just talking to somebody this morning, one of my buddies here at your church, Steve, and he's like, if you call me up on stage, I'm going to be upset with you this morning. And Steve knows me. I do that to youth. I'm like, hey, you got something to share. Come on up here and share it. Because I believe that God works through all people, but I believe some of us are called to preach the gospel, the good news, in a way that excites people, that brings them into a real living relationship with a God who's real and living this morning. And so Jesus preached and he taught people about the kingdom of God and what it was. And there was a lot of people going around. There was a lot of false teachers around. There are a lot of false teachers on YouTube today. There's a lot of false teachers on Twitter. There's a lot of false teachers on the internet, and people are following them, left and right. There's this whole generation growing up, the 36% of America say they're none, they're nothing. They're sitting in our churches right now, they're none. They don't believe, they don't have faith, they don't trust, and because it's not been real to them. God has not become real to them yet. And I say yet, because one thing that Jesus said, he's praying right now for those who will believe. Those who will believe, those who will trust, those who will have faith. Because there are people out there still that are those, that none generation. And so Jesus comes preaching, he teaches, he leads, but he does something else. And he starts to heal people. He starts to, people bring their, people with sickness. Sicknesses is like, the cold, the things that happen because you're physically not well. Sickness and illness, things that we go to the hospital for, right? You know, just people, you go to the emergency room because you got a sickness or an illness. We call our youth group the ER, we're the emergency rescue, because we believe that people that are sick and in need of God need a place to meet him. And so Jesus starts healing these people that are sick. He starts healing people with diseases. Think of different diseases in our world today that that, you know, we got cancer and we've got, what else do we have? Throw out stuff to me, please, because my mind's not working in that area. Say it, diabetes. We got different kinds of diseases, right? That many people believe that they're just going to die with disease. They're just going to, like, this is going to be my death. I'm not going to make it. In America, we have amazing medicine. We have amazing doctors. If you are a medical professional, I just want to say thank you. Because I know a lot of churches are like, well, Jesus is a great physician. We don't need to thank doctors. And I'm like, no, we do. Because God called them to their position to help people and to serve them. But there is this great ministry that Jesus was doing, and he was healing people. He was also casting out demons. He was healing people that they called them the people that were affected by the moon. That's kind of a weird concept, right? To think that people were affected by the moon. The moon comes out, like they go crazy. It's a mind thing. They were healed from demon possession, epileptic or paralyzed. So paralyzation, unbelievable. I got a story to tell you. You're going to be like, I don't believe it. This morning, that happened in Texas. That God was moving upon a man. His name was Powell. And Powell was a guy that was in a wheelchair, a walking chair thing. How many of you guys know people that are like a walking chair for the rest of their life? So this guy, I just kind of started talking to him. I was out with this Revive Texas group, the Revive Wisconsin, Revive Texas, same deal. And so I'm out with this group of guys, and I meet Powell. And I just kind of come up to him like this, and I bend down and start talking to him. And he said, it's just amazing that you're even talking to me. And I was like, why? Because everybody just passes me by. Life just kind of, people just are doing their thing. And he's like, I get it. Everybody's got their money to make. They got people to see. They got their stuff to buy, whatever. And so, I said, you know, honestly, if I wasn't doing Revive Texas, I probably wouldn't have stopped and talked to you today. Can I be honest? How many of you guys like that? Like, my life is so full and so busy with stuff, I don't have time to see the people that are right in front of me. I'm like that. And so I just bend down to Powell, and I'm talking to him, and we start connecting. And one of the guys in our group says, hey, how can we pray for you today? And this guy, it was like, you know how when you're in the kitchen and you just, like, the faucet is off and you turn it on and the water just, I'm not talking about, like, the little trickle faucet. I'm talking about, like, major water, like, flowing. He's crying. I mean, we got to put, like, a bowl on his lap to catch his tears. I mean, that's how much he's bawling. And I'm like, something's going to happen in this guy today. I don't know what it is, but God's going to do something in him. And so we just start, he's like, my back's been bad. I used to jump out of planes at Vietnam. And so we start praying for him. We're like, hey, here we go. We're praying for you. And he goes, wow, I feel a little bit better. Like, we get done praying, and well, it's not healed yet, right? So, okay, let's keep praying. So I'm like, all right, this is cool. You know, and all of a sudden, me and the guy that's with me, this other guy, we grab this guy by the arms, lift him up out of his chair. At the same moment, this is a God thing. This is happening in the scriptures. I don't, like, proclaim this that I'm, like, some amazing believer or something. I just pick this guy up with this other guy, and we say, in the name of Jesus, walk. And this guy starts walking. And I'm like, what? Word. You know, like, I'm like, word. That's what the kids say, right? That's what they used to say. That's what they used to say. Not anymore. That's what I say. Word. You know, like, word up to God. Praise God. You know, whatever. And I'm just like, what? You know, this guy's walking. And what did I just do? I just lifted this guy up. What am I thinking? I could have broke his back worse. I mean, but you don't think about that when you're in the Spirit of God. You just kind of walk with him and you're doing work. And so he's like, well, I'm feeling good. And we're like, okay, what's wrong? And there's still something wrong? Yeah, it's still a little sore back there. Well, let's keep praying. Okay, so we keep praying for this guy. And he starts going like this, and he starts wiggling his legs. He's like, I haven't done this since I was like 25, you know? And so we're like, this is amazing. And just blown away by God. So I transitioned from healing to a girl that I met named Keisha. And Keisha was just out that day, you know, trying to catch a train. She had no idea that Jesus was going to intersect her that day. And she was walking, and we were walking towards some other person, and we're like, hey, can we pray for you? He's like, no, you can't. No, good. And walks away. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Have a great day. You know, and so this woman, Keisha, beelines toward us. Like, you ever have those people like that in your life that they're upset with you? So you're wondering what she's going to do. You're like, I need prayer. Whoa. You're hungry, aren't you? You know, and so we just ask her what we can pray for her. So we pray for her. I can't remember what we prayed for. But we prayed for her. And then we had these bracelets on our wrists. And so I said, I just want to give you this as a gift to let you know we prayed for you today. And so I got done praying, talking to her and said, do you have time? Can I explain this to you, what this means? And she goes, sure. So we start opening up the little Revive Bible with her and start looking through the scriptures. And we start explaining it. She tells me what she thinks it is. And I start telling her what it is. And she goes, this is amazing. My grandma used to tell me this stuff. How many of you guys have a grandma that told you about Jesus or read the Bible to you? So she's like, my grandma read this stuff to me. And she goes, but I've never read this for myself. And I said, what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening here. The Bible says that it's alive, it's active, it's real, it's living. These are living words that we get the privilege as believers to come every Sunday and hear these living words. Do you believe that? That's so awesome. And so I said, this is living, it's active, it's real. And so what you are experiencing is real life today. As you're reading it, you're experiencing this reality. And she's like, wow, this is so awesome. And so anyways, what happens? The devil brings her train. Just kidding. No, she said, I got to catch my train. And I'm like, okay, what you need to do is you need to go to number 5 in the Revived Bible, and you need to read that, and you need to do whatever it says. I think that you're there. Just do what it says. I have no idea if Keisha's a believer today. All that I know is that God used me in her life that moment in that time to do something. Now, I want to get back to Jesus here because I kind of segue, but back to the passage because I want you to understand something. Someone that's worth following, here's why Jesus was. He preached what he believed. He lived what he preached. Whatever he taught, he didn't teach it because he heard it from somebody else. He taught it because he was living and breathing and active in it. He also, when he healed people, it was to show 4 different things, I believe. One was that he was divine, that Jesus was not just a man that was walking around like this magical guy. Like people are like, oh, dude, he's magical. He's magically delicious. You know, like, no, Jesus was divine. He was fully God, fully man. So he was showing that through his healing power. He was showing people, I just come to earth to walk around as this human being, but to show people who God was. If you see Jesus, what does it say? You see God. You see the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And so he was to show that he was divine. The second one is that this was the long-awaited Messiah. In Isaiah 61, there was a prophecy that said that God would send somebody and he would bind up the wounds of the afflicted. He would heal people. He would do this. This was happening in their midst, and so people would believe that he was the Son of God. The third part was this is the coming kingdom. There was no that someday that this was going to be the reality, that people that were paralyzed, that people were epileptic, that people that had diseases of many different kinds, mind, spiritual, physical problems, that was going to be no more in the coming kingdom. Come on, somebody say amen to that. The coming kingdom will have no more death, no more pain, no more tears. And the fourth part is that God is a compassionate God, that God cares for people. Do you know what happens when you go out in your community and you share with people and you love them? They start to realize that there is a real God that loves them. That's our purpose. We are to put on the skin. We're supposed to be the skin that Jesus puts on. I don't know if you ever heard that term. The skin that Jesus puts on in the morning. The skin that he uses to reach the world. And so so we had Keisha. So I'll go back. So Keisha went on her train, went away. I have no idea. Just prayed for her. Still pray for her. But this is what happens. So when we go out, so you guys are doing this backyard mission thing, right? We've been doing this at Bethany now for 5-6 years now. We've been doing this. And one of the most amazing things that happens is you just meet people right where they're at. You meet people in their homes. You meet people on their property. You meet, and they are willing because you are serving them, because you're giving your time to them. They are very open to you saying, hey, how can I pray for you? How's your family? How is your life? Don't be afraid to drop the project you're doing and talk to people. That's something that we have learned. Like, the weeds will get weeded, okay? Like, some of us are so, like, oriented on work that like would just be like, I gotta get this weeding done. It's gotta be done. Meanwhile, this person's sitting over here and they're like, they just wanna talk to you. They wanna know why you believe what you believe. You know that? People wanna know why you believe. Why do you follow the person that you follow? They wanna know that stuff. And so as you're out and doing your thing, remember to do that. We had this this woman, I'll share this story from Backyard Mission. This woman, she was in a wheelchair. Her name was Lori, 3 years ago. And no idea her story, no idea the people that were praying for her, no idea how many people in her family who were sharing the gospel with her. And so we meet her, we start doing work in her house, like start cleaning her ceiling, start taking her ceiling fan apart so we can get it fixed right, all kinds of stuff, painting, all these things. And so in the process, we have a woman that goes out, her name's Sandy Blanchard, and she shares with people one-on-one and in their house. And in the process of us serving her and meeting with her months later and having her come to our church for the, you guys have a dinner you're doing or luncheon for people, right, that you're going to serve. We have those too. And so in doing all those things, this woman gave her life to Christ. And this is the thing that blows me away. She died like a year after the mission. Where is she going without Christ? I know that's not a popular topic, right? Hell is not a popular topic. But where is she going without Christ? We are here to bring the good news, this kingdom, to people. And it's amazing to me, I was at the funeral of this woman and how many people were coming to me, thank you for your church. What? Yeah. Thank you. You poured into this woman's life. We've been praying for her for years. And you poured into her life. Thank you. You know what the thank you that I received that morning was? That she's in heaven. I don't need the thank you of people. I don't need the thank you of that they're like, hey, that's amazing, you have a good church. No, God, she's in heaven. And I believe that's going to happen as you guys go out. I believe that you're going to encounter people that you're like, wow, what's this church all about? They're serving people. They're painting houses. They're weeding. They're cleaning out people's toilets. I don't know, but they're like, who does that? New Day Christian Church does that. That's the kind of church that's in our community. They're a beacon of hope for this city. That's what it's all about. And so as you think about this Backyard Missions and how that all works out, really think about those things and what Jesus wants to do through you and what the power of the Holy Spirit wants to do through you. I just want to close on this. I had four things I need to do this morning, but it talks about people following Jesus. It talks about a lot of people following Jesus. And one of the number one most effective ways to make new followers of Jesus is to plant churches. It is the most effective way. They say that churches that are 8 to 10 years old, it takes 89 people to reach one person for Christ. You probably heard these terms because you have a church plant. This is a church plant. But if you have a church that's 0 to 2 years old, or it takes 3 people to lead one person to Christ. And so why church planting is so effective is it's brand new. It's a fresh vision. It's a new start. And so I believe that God, from the moment that he saved me and redeemed me, had this plan for me to be a youth pastor, to be a children's pastor, to serve him in that way, but to ultimately plant a church that was going to bring him glory, that was going to lift his name up, that was going to take ordinary people and make them passionate followers of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe my mission is. God has placed Marshfield on my wife and I, our family's heart, to plant there. We were there last week, shared our vision, were interviewed in front of people. We had 3 families respond to say, we want to be a part of the launch team. We're not even close to even doing that yet. We're support raising right now. But we believe that God is in this and he's doing this. And we had 20 people sign up to be a part of our prayer team and encouraged us and said, we believe that God is in this. And so we are just following God. We are following the same Jesus who was here in Galilee on this earth, on this planet. We are following that same Jesus today. So we're going forth, as you guys call it. And we're asking for three things from New Day. We're asking for three things this morning. Number one, we need financial support. We have to raise 4 years of our salary to move. Before we even move, we have to have that pledged out and raised. And the reason why that is number one, the number one reason is the people that we're going to reach, we're going after the nuns. We're going after people that don't want to hear that about money on Sunday morning right away. You know what I mean? They want to hear about Jesus. They want to hear about the kingdom come. They want to hear, they want to be healed. They want to encounter God. They're not ready to like come to church and say, oh, you guys are all about money. That's what I thought. And so they need, it takes a new believer 3 to 4 years to give. And so we're asking, if God puts it on your heart, we're not asking you to give out of guilt or like to any other reason except that God says we believe in that guy. I believe that God's called him. I believe that God has called him to do this. That's what I'm asking. Secondly, I'm asking for prayer. I'm asking you to join a prayer team. I'm asking you to join a prayer team that gets newsletters and connects to what we're doing there in Marshfield. So those are the things that I'm asking. And third, I'm asking this. If God says, hey, you want to, Marshfield's on your heart, and you feel like, I'm moving to Marshfield. I didn't even know that you were planning a church there. Maybe that's something that God's doing in you that you would say, I'm moving to Marshfield. I didn't know. I am. If God has a call for you to do that, they ask you just to come. Be obedient. Follow. So I'm going to close with this. This is the main part of the message this morning, is unless the church goes forth, you'll not see people saved. Unless the church goes out of the building, you're not going to see people healed. You're going to see things on Sunday morning. People are going to get saved here. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. It happens in our church. It happens in our youth group. People get saved. But unless you're going out in the power of God, just like Jesus, when he went out in the power of God. Unless you're doing that, you will not see people come to the kingdom of God. And what are we here to do? Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what's the last thing he says? Lo, I am with you. Church, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is with you right now. Same things that he did back then, he can do today. Same miracles, he can do today. I think some people are like, well, that was just to bring in the kingdom, and that was just a thing to show that he was the Messiah, and I believe all that. But I also believe that the healing and the power of God can happen in this day and age just like it did back then because I've seen it with my own eyes. I've believed it. I have done things in Jesus' name that I just go, whoa, there's no other way to explain it except his power and his glory. And so church, New Day, go forth in the power of the gospel and the good news and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Casey. You can stay right there. Ariel, I'm going to give you this mic. So right after I'm done praying, we'll pass the baton, and you can tell us what's next. So right now, Pastor Charlie Salamone is coaching you through the fundraising process.
Yes.
And you said that's going to take a while. So you're still with the youth group.
Yes.
You know, for in the fall. Yeah,
looking at about the middle of February, I'll be fully funded, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And at that point, then I will take over the coaching process as far as the strategic, the people gathering. Can you guys appreciate how I would feel honored to be coaching this guy in church planting? So that's going to be an investment that we make in starting a new church in Marshfield as Jen and Casey follow his lead there. So you're going to be standing at the table, at the Backyard Missions table, right through these doors after the service.
Yes.
So if people want to get on board with fundraising, with supporting your call financially, or they want to get on your prayer team, or any of those things that you talked about,
yep.
they can talk to you about that after the service right by that table. I encourage yep. you guys to, I encourage you to do that. Let's pray right now. I want to pray for you, church, and pray for this the seed that God is planting through Jen and Pastor Casey. God, we do read the words about the miracles that Jesus did and the announcement that he made that the kingdom of God is near, and sometimes we just we miss the power of it. And I thank you for putting a passion in Pastor Casey to remind us of the power. I pray, God, that that passion would spread, that your Holy Spirit would be alive and well in our hearts as you've called us to go. I pray, God, that for anybody in this room who hasn't experienced that power, that this morning they would acknowledge that they are not the king, that Jesus Christ is the King. God, that they would step off their throne and they would say, I believe. I believe God loves me so much that he sent his Son so that as I believe, that I will not have to perish, that I won't be separated from God, that I'm not destined for hell. Instead, I'm destined to live in the glory of God. God, we thank you for that gift and pray that people would enter into it even today, and certainly in our community that people would enter into it over the coming weeks as we go forth. Not in our power, but in the power of Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen.